searching for someone to fill the void in your heart? Have you been searching for someone to take all your pain away? Come see a man who died so you can have eternal life. Come meet a man that loves you more than you'll ever know. Let me introduce you to a man, a king, a savior, a provider. My friend, I introduce to you.
Thank you. inspiration for your soul. The Pastor Jay Grossman Show.
Broken to be our perfect liberty, for the Lamb of Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes. If you haven't heard the news, as the newspaper boy would say, extra, 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 read all about it. Jesus is alive. What's this you say? Well, yes, we know. They keep saying that a lot can happen in 3 days. And let me tell you, 3 days is all it took. They hung him, they mocked him, they pierced him, and they tried to bury him. But I serve a big God, and he said, not on my watch. Amen. Praise God. I'm Pastor Jay Grosner, and it is great joy and pleasure that I can tell you happy Easter or happy Resurrection Sunday to each and every one of you on behalf of me and my family, and blessings from my husband also, and of course to the wonderful matriarch of my family, my wonderful and beautiful mother, who's in studio this morning. I don't think she's wearing an Easter hat, but I'm sure she's just excited as I am, because we have known for many years. I've known for about 50 years that, you know, we might mourn. They say weeping may endure for a night, but joy, it cometh in the morning. Well, it came 3 days. And could you imagine? He said he would tear down the church and rebuild it in 3 days. And nobody knew what he was talking about. And none of us expected this to happen. But we aren't supposed to know what will always take place, because our ways are not God's ways, and our way of thinking is not God's thinking. But it's been prophesied, and we've read through some of the prophecy just, well, 3 days ago. And so here we are, here we are, here we are. Amen. Praise God. I'm thrilled to not just say that he's alive, but I'm thrilled to say that I'm alive, because some of us might not have made it through the night. But the important thing is, if you didn't make it through the night, where did you end up? Amen. My word, my word, my word. I'm not going to preach right now. I'll preach later on, I assure you, but I'm getting carried away because I've got joy, unspeakable joy. And it says, I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Amen. We learned all these songs when we were little, and I've never forgotten any of them, because it's only as you start to get older and mature in the Lord that you start to really understand what the joy of the Lord is. Amen. Praise God. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back, and then we are going to pray up, because that's what we do. And then we will get into our scripture lesson. And I mean scripture lesson. This Easter has been nothing but Bible study. And I'll tell you why, because you need to know the word. And even if you don't know the word, there are key things in the word that are the most important things for you to know, because the Bible talks to you. I could just read the scriptures today and not even preach, but I'm going to still send a word after we hear God's word in the scripture, because we want to make sure you fully understand his word. Amen. But we're going to take a quick break. And yes, we're going to come back. And I hope you're just as excited and thrilled, because Jesus is alive. He loved you so much that he literally loved you to death. He sacrificed himself to save a wretch like me. Amen. Praise God.
I was lost, but you came and found me. You left your throne, thinking about me. You bled and died to show me mercy. You gave your all because you saw my need. I was empty, but you came and filled me. I was blinded, but you helped me to see. I was broken, but you made me whole again. I felt like nothing, but you gave me confidence. And I'm filled with so much gratitude. The words are not enough to explain the magnitude, the passion of my love. Oh, you took everything I want, made me what I am, and all I am. I worship you. You took everything I want, made me what I am, and all I am.
You were
Amen. Yes, my eyes are filled with tears. On Good Friday, I play that at the very end because the song always makes me cry. Because when you think of the words, He is an awesome God. Amen. You made me all I am. And because I am, I worship you. Praise God. And it's who you were, because that's in the past tense. Everything is new again. The old things are passed away. It's a new beginning, a new opportunity to wipe the slate clean. That's who Jesus is today. Easter. It's about knowing that what happened in the past stays in the past, because now you have that opportunity to start doing things like nothing happened before. Can you imagine? That's what forgiveness is all about. And you know, we misunderstand. He says we have to forgive or we cannot be forgiven. And so we think that if we forgive somebody, we just have to go, okay, you're forgiven. Let's just carry on like nothing happened. No, it means it's gone. It's in the past. And you can leave it in the past. But once you re-begin and start and do all the things that you need to do, you can move on. That person doesn't have to worry about you being angry or wanting to get revenge or thinking about revenge or seeking revenge, any of those aspects of things. And you're not walking around with anger, because walking around with all that anger only makes you sick. It does nothing to the person that you're angry with. So you can let it go. Amen. Praise God. And that is the theme of today, letting go. And sometimes it is hard to let go, and other times it's so easy to let go. We already talked about giving up, whether there's an option or not an option, and how to determine when to give up. But today we are letting things go. We have no need to hold on any longer, because we know that there is hope in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you today praising in thanksgiving, Father God. And Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you would even consider the sacrifice that you did so many years ago, so that this generation and the generations before and even the generations to come would know to live life in a more excellent way by serving you, by loving you, and knowing that you will never leave them nor forsake them, that you are always there, that you have gone and allowed him to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we may be there also one day. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we go about this earth, the enemy may be roaming, but Father God, we call on the hedge of protection of the Lord, because his dying will not be in vain. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen, Father God. And Father, we leave this show in your hands. And Father, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for all that you continue to do and all that you will be doing, because thy kingdom come shall be done as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. So Father, we look to you for everything and all. We continue to seek you for peace, for joy, for love, and for healing in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, have your way this day. Send your word, send a message, and allow it to be fruitful. And when we say to go forth and multiply, that we would go to the ends of the earth and spread it across the lands or right next door or in our own homes to be able to let everyone know that there is salvation available for one and all. We leave it with you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, let me hear you say, oh. And leave it there. It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be
all right. It's gonna be all
right.
It's gonna be all
right.
So everything that you've been worried about, you need them to work it out. He'll work it out, yeah. All of your burdens, bring them all down, yeah. You're gonna get it. You need relief. You're tired of the pressure.
Yeah.
You got all the stress and you need some peace. Come on and get your breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
I haven't you been suffering long enough? Make your way down to the altar. Hand it over. Leave it there. It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be
alright.
Let it go. Amen. Put it all on the altar of God, the altar of sacrifice, praise. Amen. My word. What's it like to just kind of take everything off of you, all your heavy burdens, and just let them go? And you leave them the Lord even said, it's okay, here, you take my yoke because my burden is light and I'll take yours. Look, you wouldn't have to ask me twice because the minute you say, here, I'll take it from you, it's gone. It's gone. You can have it. Enjoy it. Take it. Do what you want with it. Don't bring it back. Amen. Praise God. All right. Today, yes, scripture lesson. You notice I'm not just saying scripture. Scripture lesson. And we have an addition because it's not me reading scripture today. So you're going to hear. But, so I'm going to give you advance warning. Today's reading is going to be from the Old Testament, Isaiah, the infamous Isaiah. And, of course, the reading is from the New International Version. Again, I've done my study for the last couple of days in King James. I always read the King James, but I'm doing NIV because we want to continue to make the vision plain. And so we make sure everybody understands so they don't have to hear this and thou and thou and all these other keywords that they may not understand, because we want you to know the word of God and we want you to understand the message of God. And so it's going to be in Isaiah 43. And our New Testament reading, yes, is going to be from Acts 1. Not like the play Act 1, but Acts, A-C-T-S 1. And yes, it is the beginning scenes. It's the beginning scenes of when the disciples are getting ready to take over and do their mission and do their ministry, because they've been instructed on what they need to do. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to give you a chance to look it up. Again, Isaiah 43, chapter 43, and Acts chapter 1. And then we'll be returning. But before we do go, I just want to give a shout out to our listeners. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. You know, I am always overwhelmed by you. And remember we said a lot can happen in 3 days. We know that he was crucified and rose 3 days. Well, in 3 days, let me tell you the change in our listeners. Praise God. So Canada, of course, is number one because those are my people. And then United States, they're our cousins, basically. But the number three position has been changed. My word. And so we want to give a shout out to our friends in the Philippines. Amen. Thank you so much. And God bless you. And then, of course, number four and five, we knew from 3 days ago. It's been moved down. So Bangladesh is number four. And number five is Nigeria. But, of course, we are so grateful to all our listeners around the world. And, look, even if you're just next door, we are just so grateful that you are encouraged to learn, that you listen, and that you're encouraged to know the Word of God. And so we are very thankful and continue to want you to know. Amen. So let's take a quick break while we worship the King, and then we'll come back and hear, it won't be my voice, Isaiah 43, and then Acts 1.
Golden girl of Frankenstein. Chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, Jacob, and he who formed you, Israel, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle on you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you have been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved you, therefore will I give men in your place, and peoples instead of your life. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east, and gather you from the west. I will tell the north, give up, and to the south, don't keep back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yes, whom I have made. Bring forth the blind people who have eyes, and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have shown, and there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and I am God. Yes, since the day was, I am he. And there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who can hinder it? Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I will bring down all of them as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, in the ships of their rejoicing. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the mighty man. They lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as a wick. Don't remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The animals of the field shall honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people which I formed for myself, that they might set forth my praise. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob, but you have been weary of me, Israel. You have not brought me of your sheep for burnt offerings, neither have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with frankincense. You have bought me no sweet cane with money, neither have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Set forth your cause that you may be justified. Your first father sinned, and your teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I will profane the princes of the sanctuary, and I will make Jacob a curse, and Israel a reviling.
The Book of Acts. The first book I wrote, Theophilus, concerned all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was received up, after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also showed himself alive after he suffered, by many proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking about God's kingdom. Being assembled together with them, he charged them, "Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father which you heard from me. For John indeed baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you now restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It isn't for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has set within his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they were looking steadfastly into the sky as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white clothing, who also said, You men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who was received up from you into the sky, will come back in the same way as you saw him going into the sky. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had come in, the room where they were staying, that is, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord continued steadfastly in prayer and supplication, along with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In these days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and the number of names was about 120, and said, Brothers, it was necessary that this scripture should be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who was guide to those who took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and received his portion in this ministry. Now this man obtained a field with the reward for his wickedness, and falling headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines gushed out. It became known to everyone who lived in Jerusalem that in their language that field was called Aseldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his habitation be made desolate, let no one dwell therein, and let another take his office. Of the men, therefore, who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day that he was received up from us, of these one must become a witness with us of his resurrection. They put forward, too, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas fell away, that he might go to his own place. They drew lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Amen. The word of God for the people of God. May he add a blessing to the hearing and the doing of his most holy word. We will now prepare to hear from the word of God and the message of God. In the meantime, let's all usher in the Spirit.
My soul, Savior, Savior, Savior. My soul, Savior, Savior.
Come on, Jesus, just sing it with me.
My soul sings.
Take it again.
Where you lead me, I will follow. When you call me, I will answer. Oh, my Lord, please teach me to know your way. Whatever it takes, whenever you want, what moment you choose, whatever you plan, oh my Lord, let your will be done in me. So be
If you promise to abide with me, Lord, then I will serve you for the rest of my life. If you promise to stay with me through all the darkness in life, just give me a word that you stand by me. You're the helper for the helpless. You're the shelter for the homeless.
He is hope for the homeless. Amen, 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 amen. So, we know that the Lord sacrificed himself. You know, we know that the Lord was sent by God Almighty in flesh as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, amen. But we also knew that he could have given up when he had asked Father God to take this cup from him. But when he realized, even though he didn't want to do it, he needed to know from his Father. He didn't appeal to him as God, but his Father, to not be sacrificed. He had done nothing wrong. But yet still, he was treated like the worst sinner that ever lived, because he took on all of our sins. And we know that they crucified him, and he was dead and buried. And this is what we believe, as we say in the Apostles' Creed. But 3 days later, amen, 3 days later, he was alive. And for those of you who don't know the story after that, we know that Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalene, they went to go and anoint the body with oil. Remember, before he was crucified, Mary had anointed his feet with oil and washed them with her hair in the most special anointing oil, but they went with fresh herbs and different things to anoint his body while he was supposed to be in the tomb. But when they came early the morning on the third day, as the song says, the stone was rolled away. Now, the soldiers didn't do it because they were given special instructions, because they thought, well, these people are going to try and say that this prophecy was a miracle, and so they'll go and they'll steal the body away. So we're going to guard it. We're going to make sure it's got the biggest rock in front of it to make sure nobody can get in. But they don't know my Lord. You may not be able to get in, but nobody said that he couldn't get out. Because there is nothing impossible for my God. Amen. And so they came, and the tomb was open. And then an angel came before them and said to them, why are you here? Why are you looking for the Christ among the dead? Because he is not dead. And they were given a message to go back and tell the other disciples that Jesus lives. And he is among us, and where they needed to gather, and what they needed to do. And so they were obedient, and they went and did this. And we know that he did appear before the disciples, and he was able to prove, because some weren't believing. And not that they don't believe Jesus, but this is rather new. I think I would be a little concerned if somebody who had died was standing in front of me. I would assume that it was some sort of apparition or a ghost or something. But he even could show the wounds. And it's wonderful. And, you know, it made me think about people we know in our lives with wisdom and grace. And we always mourn when they're gone because we love them. But the most important thing that some of them have instilled in us is their wisdom. And when they're gone, if you need something or you want to find out something or you're trying to tackle something or you're trying to figure out something or life becomes so difficult or concerning or just destitute, sometimes the people that you would reach out to are no longer there. And all you have left is your own thoughts and decisions and the words that you can remember or recall. And other than that, you cannot reach out to that person. I can't. Trust me, there are days that I miss my grandmother like you wouldn't believe. To me, she was an older woman and she was a fussy woman and she was her. She had her personality. But that woman was my wisdom when it came to godly things. And sometimes you have to really know that when they tell you things or explain things, you need to sit down, just like Mary did when Jesus was going to be going and he was in Mary and Martha's house. We know Martha was in the kitchen cooking up a storm and trying to impress him with her cooking skills and was mad. But Mary sat at his feet and took in every single word he said. She knew he was going to be gone. And she had enough sense to know, I need to sit and I need to listen. And so there were times when my grandmother would tell me things, and every word she ever told me, I sat and I listened. Every word that my father ever told me, I sat and I listened. And it's so important because you can sit down and hear things, but if you can't recall them, then they're useless. And I like to think of it as wisdom and knowledge for a future date. We archive all those things so that when the time comes, we can go through our little Rolodex in our brains and go, okay, I'm dealing with a crisis. Let me see. And then you look up your crisis and bam, you pull out the card and there's that information that that person told you. But we are blessed beyond words and imagination. Because as much as we need to remember the word of God for ourselves and need to recall it, at this day and age, and I say this very lightly because there are some places where you can't have a Bible. There are some places they don't have Bibles. And so if you have the Word of God, you are beyond blessed to be able to take your Word of God, freely read your Word of God, and look through the Word of God. And every time you can't recall something, you can look in and refresh your minds. But they said we need to learn it and know it in our hearts. There's going to come a time when we won't have the Word of God, but we'll know the Word of God. But these disciples, after their master, Jesus the Christ, left, they all kind of like were lost because he had instructed them. Remember, he even sat down and had dinner with them days before he finally died and told them all the things that they needed to do and what they needed to go about doing and where they needed to go and all of the instructions. But none of that happened because they were grieving, they were mourning, they were lost. And they were blessed to have him come back from the dead just for 40 days to walk the earth with them once again, almost like a cheerleader to try and cheer them on, go, hey guys, I left for 3 days. What did you do? You sound like a parent when they go and they leave for the day and they said, okay, clean up the house, and they come back and you didn't clean up the house. Well, he left for 3 days and he came back and he's like, well, what did you guys do? But they had another opportunity and a chance. And I think because they learned their lesson the hard way, they said, well, we better learn it this time. So the 40 days that they had, they continued to really pay attention. And can you imagine? I thought this was so awesome. Because not only did they have to restore themselves. Remember we talked about the Last Supper almost like being a board meeting or a shareholders meeting or a directors meeting or even a family meeting. Maybe that's why it's important that we sit down every Sunday and have dinner together so we can kind of tete-a-tete and we can talk and enjoy each other's company and learn from each other. Because those are the times when families sit together and share and they have words of wisdom and or they just have joy and laughter together. But your time spent together is so important, and you should never take a moment of it for granted. But they are blessed now because they have him back for 40 days. And he says, okay, you guys need to get restored and refreshed, and here's what you need to do. And then he said, but it's okay. I'm still going to be with you. And they were like, how? You know, you're leaving. And he said, I have a gift for you. Amen. A gift. And it's called the Holy Spirit. And he was going to leave them with this. And they would know when they were baptized by this Holy Spirit because they would be able to tell. I knew when I received the Holy Spirit because I knew I was thinking differently. I was doing things differently. Do you realize when I was younger, I would be persecuted by my Holy Spirit? Amen? Because that is what tells you what you're doing wrong from right. It's that guilty conscience that comes upon you because you know better. It's the one that helps you to make the better decisions out of several, make the best choices out of them all, to hear the Lord speaking to you, to feel the Lord in your presence and for me to be able to feel words from him to you. But what's important to know is I'm not the only one who has it. Everybody has been left. If you know Jesus, then you may be baptized by water, be it dunked, sprinkled, drizzled, whatever it is, plunged. But the Holy Spirit is the ultimate baptism, because that is when you are fueled and on fire for the Lord. And it will allow you to do the things that you do that your body wouldn't know, your mind wouldn't know, but only the Lord can give to you to do and know. Amen. But now that we have a gift, what do we do with this gift? You know, when you get a present, you usually open it. Nobody gets a present and go, oh, it's so lovely. Thank you. The wrapping paper looks wonderful. I'll leave it here in the corner and I'll just let it sit there and never, ever open it. If you get a gift, you got to open it. You got to use it. You got to enjoy it or appreciate it. And that's what we need to do. But we can't do that until we understand what the purpose is of it. Everything has a manual. Everything has instructions. I contacted the company the other day because I wasn't sure about something I wanted to buy, and everything I read about it didn't answer everything I needed. So I had to reach out to them and wait to hear back from them. And then I did. I reached out to two companies selling the same thing, and they contacted me automatically and said, oh, we're on a two-day holiday. We'll have to get back to you on Monday. And I'm like, oh. So then I had to wait. And then after I waited, then I had to wait to see what they're going to come up with. And I'm not joking. Both of them came back and told me, oh, if you look online again and just read the details on the particulars and the specification of the thing, it will help you answer your question. It did not. Because I had already read all those things, and that's why I had more questions. I didn't reach back out to the company. But we have a manual. It's called the Bible. If you don't have the Bible, we have people who know the Word of God. They're ministers. They're missionaries. They're evangelists. They are prophets. Sometimes it's even just your Sunday school teacher. Other times, guess what? It is just your Christian friend or neighbor or family member. Because they know the Word. They study the Word. They read the Word. And sometimes, guess what? Even if I don't know something, I have to ask or I have to go to the Word. Because I don't know everything. So once you're able to do this, it will allow you to answer all the little things that nobody else could answer for you. But you cannot have a Holy Spirit and be full of yourself. Until you accept it, and until you open up to it, and until you allow it to be able to fill you and use you, then it is of no use to anyone, especially to God. And we know that at this new meeting that they have with all the disciples, he went through all of this again. And he said, you know the word, you know the message. Now go and tell everyone about this message. Let them know. But the most important tool that he told them that they had was that they are witnesses. You and I were not there, but we still have the gift that he left us with. And anything that we do that is beyond what everyone else can do is your testimony, the goodness of the Lord, every day you wake up and you know you're thankful, it's your testimony. You witness God and His most highest grace because He allowed you to still wake up. Every day that you eat something, you're more blessed, a great percentage of this earth and the world. So no matter how big or small, you still ate something. You're thankful. But the most important thing that you can actually do to serve God is to use your mouth. And if Lord God Almighty is within you, then it will automatically come out His words and not your own. Fulfill and witness is all you need to do. There's that saying, they will know we are Christians by our love. There's a lot of Christians out there and they are not lovable. And they certainly aren't loving. And so it's not our purpose or our guide in life to judge them. That's between them and their maker. But what's going to make a difference is you. And you can't do those things until you release everything to God. It's an exchange. It's an empowerment. And I can tell you, every day will not be perfect. Every day will not go well. Every day will not be sunshine and roses. But you have to be able to know to let that burden go to Him and let it go and be able to take in what He wants to replace it with. And He has nothing but love, nothing but joy, nothing but peace. Remember, He said, my peace be with you. Find it all joy, amen, in the midst of your trials. And it's hard. Nobody says you have to walk around grinning and grinning and grinning and grinning. But there's a contentment to know that, you know what? It's not going well right now, but I know a man named Jesus who died for me and has given me this gift to allow me to try to be content where I am and to release what I can't handle to Him. And it's ironic because you just don't know when you're going to be called upon to do something for the Lord. You'll notice at the end of Acts 1, they had an election. Yes, they did. Praise God. They said, well, Judas has done what he's done, and Judas took off, and well, Judas basically killed himself. It was guilt. He went crazy, and he died. But now they were down one key, because remember, Judas wasn't just a basic disciple. He was somebody important with them. And so now they needed to replace him in that key position. And so they voted, and they had a little election. And Matthias was the one who was chosen to replace Judas. You don't know when you will be called upon to do something that you would not normally do or to say something that you would not normally say. But be encouraged to know that there is something fueling you and it will be there. And before he left, he went up into the sky. He said he'll be back and he's going to come back the same way he went up. But he also said that he will still be with us through this gift of the Holy Spirit. And it will always be with us while he himself is up there waiting. So don't be afraid. It's hard sometimes. And even if you don't really know what to say and you're hesitant to say anything, you can show the love of Jesus. You can be the love of Jesus. And you can speak of the love of Jesus You are a walking billboard for Jesus Christ. And so I tell you this day, you need to let go of everything that's tying you down. Let go of all your sins because they are already forgiven. Let go of everything that's holding you back. Let go of the fear, afraid to do what God has called you to do. Let go of the anger that seems to just be corroding away inside of you, and refill it with love and the Holy Spirit. Let go of your sadness and your sorrow and your mourning and your grieving, and give it to Jesus. Today is a day to let go, as we would say, and let God. Let all your yeses be for no other person but Jesus Christ, the one and only, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and now the end.
This life you gave.
trust him with your yes. Amen. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up in the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. They said the same thing at the tomb. Why are you looking here for him among the dead? For he is no longer dead, but alive. He died so you could have eternal life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever shall believeth in it shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All you have to do is remember your ABCs. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that he is God in Christ, and he was crucified, dead, buried, and arose 3 days later. And confess, and thou shalt be saved. Come home. There's a place waiting for you. And if you have strayed away, well, there's no place like home. Again, a very happy Easter from my family to yours. And now the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pastor Jay Grossman Show.
your plans for life in them. Watch them take down the stream.
I know.